Last November, some of you may recall, I decided to tell my brother about my depression. And it didn't go over so well. For those of you who don't know, I struggle with depression from time to time, and last year was a pretty difficult year for me. And eventually I just wanted to be able to talk to my brother about it and not make excuses for why I haven't had any work or why I haven't done the things that I said I would do. So I thought I should talk to him about it. And my brother is wonderful. He does love me and I love him, and I know that he cares about me. And he's a generous, empathetic, thoughtful guy. So I thought this would be a good thing to do. So I told him, I sent him some articles ahead of time, which he didn't have time to read, because he was in one of those jobs that you don't have time to sleep, let alone do anything personal. But I came and I tried to explain to him about how depression is an illness. It can be debilitating, which it was for me at the time, which is why I wanted to talk to him about it. And I wanted some support from him. And I didn't want to have to pretend I was all right when I wasn't. And he essentially said that he didn't believe in depression. That's not the words he used, but that's sort of what I heard. He didn't believe that it was a debilitating illness. I think he probably had a concept of it being a bad mood or something. But the long and short of it is that he did not feel that he could support me because he didn't believe that I actually had a problem. So he said he'd listen to me if I wanted to talk, but he wasn't willing to do any of the practical things that I was hoping he would help me with. Obviously that hurt, and that was 7 months ago, and I'm finally getting some clarity on it, and so it's on my mind, and that's why I'm telling you about it. A few weeks ago, I saw sort of an opposite reaction. I met a friend who told me that she was wanting to learn about, there's a particular, it was a gender identity thing that she had come into contact with somebody who was struggling with this, and to her it was a complete mystery. She just didn't get it. She could see that it was a problem for them, but she knew that there was something in her that didn't quite believe it. But she said she wanted to be able to connect with this person, so she was learning about it, so that she could understand what they were going through more. And I thought that is such completely opposite reaction. For her, her priority was to connect with the person, and she was willing to overlook her view or her opinion or her belief, let alone the fact she was willing to say that she thought that her belief was wrong and that's why she wanted to learn about it. But her primary concern was how to connect with this person and support them. And my brother couldn't do that. And what I'm discovering is that I'm really not... what hurt me is not that he didn't believe that I have this challenge that can be debilitating. It wasn't that he doesn't believe in depression. He's a smart guy, and he believes what he believes because of the information that he has. He didn't have a chance to read, to research, before we talked, and the circumstances of his life and his upbringing and what he's, experienced, has not given him an understanding of what depression is. That's not what hurt. What hurt was that his his compassion for me, his willingness to support me, was conditional on his assessment of the cause of the problem. He had a view or belief that stopped him from being willing to make that connection. If he had said to me, "I'm sorry, I don't think that this is really an illness, you know, this is your subconscious coming up with excuses for not having a job and for, you know, trying to scrounge off your mother, and you need to, you know, get a job. But I can see that you're suffering, and I don't like seeing that. That hurts, and I'm sorry that you're suffering." That would have been fine. You know, he could refuse to help because he didn't think it was appropriate if he would only have acknowledged my own my suffering at the time. He's bound up in his view. That's what stopped him. He hasn't had life experiences that have taught him to connect the way I think everybody here is, at least to some degree, doing, or else you wouldn't be here. But I'm learning that that compassion starts with the connection. My job as a compassionate person, or my attempt to be compassionate, my job as a human being is to connect with other human beings and to be able to touch their experience, regardless of the cause of it. Which is not to say that you just go and, blindly help everyone with whatever they want. There's things that are responses that are appropriate and not appropriate in your when you decide to take action about something. But that comes after the connection. So, for example, there's the constant debate that probably all of us have from time to time about, here's a guy on the street asking for money. I know he's going to use it for drugs. Do I give it to him or not? That is like secondary or tertiary. That's way down the line. Before you even get to that question is meet this person and connect with them and recognize that they're suffering in some way or they have need. And regardless of if it's their fault or if it's not real or whatever, what they feel, they feel. I felt a lot of pain with that stage of depression. And it didn't matter if the cause was, real or not. I was still feeling that. And so our first point of contact is this connection. With the core experience of a person. There's a phrase that I've heard about in Japanese. I don't remember it well enough to know if I'm actually saying this right, but it's something to the effect of this. There's this idiom of my belly button reaches out and connects with your belly button. That's about this sort of deep connection. And I think it's rooted in the concept of the hara or the dantian area in your belly, which is like the core of your being. Yourself is not in your brain in this model. Yourself is down here. And that's where you connect. Your belly button reaches out and connects with the other person's belly button. And then your brain gets involved afterwards. The compassion is not an intellectual activity. If that makes sense.
Is it sort of like the difference between listening with a bat or listening with a catcher's mitt? If that makes any sense?
It's listening to a person's experience and respecting what they're going through and responding to what they're going through, not responding to how they got there.
Right, and not here. And
I think, his analogy, I think it's close to what you're saying. As the catcher is catching, taking in what's being given.
Right, so receiving what's being given to you instead of hitting it away. Right.
Gets rid of it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I throw something out to my brother and he decides to bat it away because he doesn't want to receive it because he has a judgment about where it came from. But our job is to receive it and to honor it and to respect it. We're not necessarily respecting how a person got there. That's not our job, at least not initially. The initial point of contact is if you're suffering, I don't like to see you suffering. I want to relieve that suffering. And then after that, maybe we start getting into how are we going to do that and what's appropriate, but that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about that initial contact, that belly button reaching out to the belly button. And everyone here, I think, is probably more leaning towards the connection type of relation with people than my brother. But we're still susceptible, I think, to having views or opinions that can color our contact with someone. I suspect that for us it's more subtle than for people who aren't thinking and practicing like this. But I think it's worth us looking around, just being aware as we go through the world. Is there someone who naturally just pulls compassion out of you that you just feel the compassion for, and then maybe there's someone else that you don't? I hear people saying, I should feel compassion for them because, whatever. And I'm not talking about the should and trying to make yourself. I'm just saying observe how what your immediate response is and what that's rooted in. And even the compassion, when it flows freely, can be coming from a view. What I'm suggesting is that as much as we try not to be bound by our beliefs. We have beliefs. We have to have beliefs. There's nothing wrong with having beliefs or views or whatever you want to call them. But we are still subtly, if not grossly, but certainly subtly influenced by our views in the sense that we are making judgments and decisions based on those judgments. And so the challenge is, maybe we have judgments, maybe we should have judgments, but can we connect from the belly button before we get into the head? The first point of contact is here.